Welcome to the How to Be a Minimalist podcast. Thanks so much for joining me. My name is Katie and I'm your host. There is a How to Be a Minimalist YouTube channel. You can find links to my videos as well as the direct link to the channel in the details of this podcast episode. I hope that you enjoy and thanks for being here. This is episode number 70, Things I Regret Buying After Becoming a Minimalist. Hey there, minimalists. Thanks so much for joining me today. I always appreciate having you here. I'm just going to jump into today's personal update. As far as the no spend year is going, I feel like I need to do an update on that. I haven't talked about it too much since I had that episode in January. Pretty much it has been going really, really well. I did replace my can opener. I also replaced washcloths that were seriously holy and horrific. They are now being used as cleaning cloths, which is great. I'm continuing to use them just for a different purpose. They're basically bathroom or spill cleanup duty now. That is what they are working on. Honestly, it feels very luxurious to have some new washcloths, so I feel very grateful for that, and it's good that they were replaced. I also purchased one of my six chocolates that I said I was going to purchase this year. I thought about this for a long time. In the United States, we are getting ready to celebrate Easter, and Cadbury eggs, my friends, they get me every time. That is something that I have loved since I was little. It is just Easter to me. I'm not going to eat it yet. I'm not going to eat that until I am where I want to be. So I'm going to have to wait a couple of months. But after thinking about it, I decided that I would be pretty upset if I did not have a Cadbury egg. And so I bought one Cadbury egg as well as one mini bag of the Cadbury minis that are just so good. And because they're small, I said that that is one chocolate because it is about the same amount in ounces as the type of chocolate that I would normally buy. I did purchase something that is probably considered a household item. I thought about it for a good month, though, and decided that it was something that I really wanted to do, even though I said I wasn't going to buy any silverware or bedding or anything like that. So it actually didn't follow in the category of being inside of the house. It's actually a gardening object. I bought a pot in order for us to grow one little crop. I really miss gardening. That is, to me, the biggest drawback of living in an RV. It's something that I've always done at every property that we've ever rented or owned. It's just been a big part of my life and I miss it. I have succulents all over the house and houseplants, and I have like a few little things growing in my kitchen window. We also have one pot that has strawberries in it outside, and that's great, but I just wanted one more that we could grow a spring crop in. So my kids picked out snap peas, which is really fun. They grow well here and they will probably be dying back by the time summer comes around. So if we do decide to travel, we will be able to probably put that pot in storage, or it will be, we'll use it for a different crop. It'll be okay. I can grow something smaller. So I'm thinking that it's going to be okay as far as, you know, putting in the RV. I looked around the house. I wanted to use something that I already had and grow it in there, but I couldn't find anything that was really aesthetically pleasing. Our RV park has outdoor space rules, and I just wanted to make sure that I was following those. And also, I wanted it to be really pleasant looking and put together, kind of have a certain look about it. So I'm happy with what I got, and the kids are excited to plant something. So I think it will be a good thing, and it will be fun to have a little something to munch on when we are outside. As far as my YouTube channel goes, I have a couple of new videos out. I have Healthy Travel Foods, which has the chocolate granola recipe in it. I have talked about it a little bit before on the podcast, especially on my YouTube channel. But oh my goodness, that is such a lifesaver when it comes to having a sweet tooth and also trying to eat healthfully. So I love this chocolate granola recipe. It's really crunchy. It's chocolatey. I eat it with some strawberries and banana cut on top, and then I put, you know, poured milk over it like you would with cereal or whatever. It is so good and I just love it. My husband also loves it too, which he usually doesn't like I don't know. He's not really a dessert person necessarily. So for him to have that at night with me, it's just kind of a fun thing that we share. He really likes it. I really like it. And it's really a very healthy. It's oil-free. It's dairy-free. It's just good. So that recipe is in the Healthy Travel Foods video. And it's just a couple of videos down at this point. I also have my plant-based weight loss update for February, kind of what happened in February sort of a video. And that is out now. You can check out both of those videos. They will be linked down below. I also have a potato diet daily series that's going to be coming out any day now. So you might want to check out my YouTube channel. Hit the subscribe button. That way you can get these videos as they come out. And for those of you that have subscribed, like and comment, I love interacting with you all there. It's really, really sweet and I definitely appreciate it. For my something interesting today, I have Sarah Teresa's YouTube channel. I will link it in the details of this podcast episode as usual. I think I actually forgot a couple weeks ago, so I'm sorry about that. She had a video that was out, which these videos pop up a lot on minimalist channels or channels that present minimalist material quite frequently. It is things I regret buying after I became a minimalist. And I had just watched like four or five others that were like that or noticed them on my channels when I was like kind of doing my update. I was like, wow, everyone's doing one of these right now. anyway, when I watched her video, I loved how open she was about the things that she regretted buying after becoming a minimalist. And I think it's something that I don't really talk about very much, but there are lots of things that I regret buying even now that I'm working on. It's one of the reasons why I'm doing the no spend year and all of that sort of thing. It doesn't stop just because you call yourself a minimalist or because you get in to a certain point. Like, I think it's always something that one has to be aware of. So I thought it would be really fun to create my own list of things that I regret buying after becoming a minimalist. Sarah Teresa's YouTube channel is really fun though. She and her husband and their family have a really just, they look like a fun time. She's got some minimalist stuff on there and just some lifestyle family stuff. But I will link that below and you can check it out if you would like to. The first regret that I have that I fall into sometimes is purchasing small things simply for the sake of the size. So sometimes this can be cookware. Sometimes it could be a bag or all kinds of things. Just things that take up a small amount of space or are a small item. I have purchased many like single serving appliances and used some of them a lot. Others I have not used at all and they just don't function as they should or I just am not really interested in using them. What I've learned is that just because it's small does not make it minimalistic. I have, for instance, this cookie sheet that I really need to ditch because I bought it because it was small and I thought, oh, I'll make small things in my small oven in my RV and it'll be great. I never use it though. I use the larger size. It's just a tiny bit smaller than your standard cookie sheet size, which is what fits perfectly into my RV oven. I never bother to pull this smaller cookie sheet out and it's just something that I bought because it was little and would take up less space. And you know what? Now it's just a waste of space, even though it's a small amount of wasted space. It is funny how I have justified this over the years with so many different things, and yet those little things are the things that probably tempt me the most still. For me, it's important to remember that it's still something that I need to take care of, something I have to look after, something that our resources have to go toward if I choose to purchase it. And again, just the time that it takes to take care of these things. And I don't want to spend all of my days looking after and sorting out objects all day long. That is one of the biggest reasons why I began practicing minimalism because I did not want to sit there shuffling my things around all day. And small things, yeah, you can find a space for them, but it's still something that you have to find a space for in the end. And it's something I just don't want to do, generally speaking. Something else that I regret buying after becoming a minimalist are things that are specific to RVing instead of a home. When we moved into the RV, I had gotten rid of a lot of stuff, and some stuff just went straight into our storage unit because it was meant for when we got back into a home probably within a year or two. And, you know, it's 3 years now. We're still in the RV, so we're not doing that yet. But there are a lot of things that I purchased that were, you know, durable for a house are on wheels being shifted around. I had these plastic cups that I bought. They stacked together and I didn't want it to break. And it's fine. Like, I get why I did it, but I wish I would have just taken a little bit more time and not been so hasty to, you know, put all this stuff into the RV. We also had decor that we bought that was specific to RVing, not necessarily with all the little cutesy vintage trailers on it, but there were just some things that we bought that were like throw pillows that had kind of like national park theme type things on there, or like nature that didn't really suit what we wanted, or we knew we were going to get rid of the couch in the RV at some point, but I went and bought a bunch of throw pillows for it anyway. Like, why did I do that? I don't know. And it was because I was trying to kind of get something out of the RV and make it really fun in the RV. But in the end, it was not very minimalistic because it wasn't really what we wanted. And I should have just waited. If I had waited, it would have been better and we would have been able to focus better on what we wanted and what we wanted to really do with the RV. I feel like if I would have waited on this, our home actually would have been a lot cozier and we would have had a warmer place and a more home-like feel a lot sooner. Because we kind of put some of these things into our RV, it ended up feeling okay for a long time and it pushed off renovating, which also was fine. I think that it all kind of worked out as it should, but I did want to have a cozier feel a lot sooner than we actually did, and buying those things didn't really help out. Another kind of broad category that I have regrets about purchasing in would be buying things that were minimalistic, but not necessarily environmentally friendly. So my kind of disclaimer with this one is that I know that on a tight budget, it can be very challenging to purchase the environmentally friendly option. That's just been my experience. One of the reasons why I practice minimalism is to be more aware of sustainability and what it does when there is a demand for various items to be created and that sort of thing. And so I am aware of that. And I understand at the same time that sometimes it's really difficult to be environmentally friendly and taking action to be environmentally friendly. And so I have grace with myself about that one, as much as I try to change things and I'm constantly changing. And I know there's a lot more change in my future. It's something that takes time to figure out, or at least that's been my experience. I am beginning to make different choices though. For instance, I purchased this square stackable set of food storage containers and it's really not what I want. It wasn't necessarily what I wanted at the time. Yes, they're stackable and yes, they're very minimalistic, but they're plastic. I don't want to be eating off of plastic. Plastic is tough on the environment. Like, it's just not something that I want. I also know that they're not as durable. The other day I was cleaning one of these containers up. It's what my husband puts his salad in every day. And like one of the little lips, just it broke off, just kind of ridiculous. So now I've got these kind of lids and containers that are falling apart. Whereas if I had purchased a glass or stainless steel set, that would not be happening right now. Of course, we live in an RV and that's another part of it. We have items that, you know, hit up against each other and we need them to be durable. But I really feel strongly that food storage glass or stainless steel is a great option and can work for our family and the way that we set things up. It's something I wish I would have invested in instead of these storage boxes because of their durability, the plastic, all this stuff, right? So on one hand, I really am understanding, like, I can't disregard my reasons for purchasing that. But moving forward, I find myself making really different choices. I am currently looking for, because my little storage boxes are falling apart, glass or stainless steel food storage containers. I need them to nest. I live in an RV. I don't have a lot of space. They need to nest. They need to be very durable so that when they are jostled around, it will not get broken or bent up or anything like that. So I am on the lookout. I think it will be a hefty investment because of the cost comparisons that I've already done. And I'm willing to do it slowly. And that's the other part of it. I'm so much more of a patient person, even after a few years of changing a lot in this area. I am more patient. So I'm waiting. I keep on looking. And I'm not finding exactly what I want yet. But I am looking. I am keeping an eye out. And it feels good to know that when I do bring something into our home and replace it with what is already here, that it will be the right choice and that it will be something that lasts a really long time. Instead of doing a broad category for this next one, this is actually a single item that I regret purchasing. So I regret purchasing a minimalistic purse. I had a purse and I really liked it, and it was actually the same size as the purse I ended up purchasing. So it already was like a minimalistic purse, but the strap broke. And I sew well. I know what to do with this thing. It really was a very simple repair that needed to be made, but I used it as an excuse to purchase something new when I found this super cute purse. So I bought a new purse and was really excited about it. I said that I was going to repair the old purse and donate it or ask one of my friends if they wanted it or something like that. And I just never ended up doing it. So this purse has been hanging on my little hook with my new purse for a really long time now. It's such a nice purse. I couldn't not take care of it because I know that somebody else would really enjoy it. Here's the funny part of this story. Guess what? My new purse, it's not as durable. It does not have a top that closes. It has like some Velcro, but it does not have a zipper, which as a grown woman, that's just kind of silly to not have that on there. I could have used that money to do something else, like anything else. And I really should have and could have taken the 15 minutes it took me to repair the old purse instead of purchasing this new one. And then I wouldn't have had the waste or this second purse nagging at me all this time or anything like that. Guess what though? This new purse, it needs repairs. All of the lining is coming out on one side and I can stitch it up. I really should stitch it up. But the funny thing is I ended up repairing my old purse and using it because when I went and took my trip, I didn't want to take this old tattered purse with me. I wanted to take a nice purse. So I ended up fixing the old one. Literally took me 15 minutes to do the repair. And now I just feel silly for having gotten the old purse or the new purse, which is now my old purse. There's some confusion for you. To me, this shows that I will always be tempted to purchase something new. There's just something about it that I think is almost primal. It's something that our brain must tell us somewhere. These are just Katie thoughts, okay? This is not scientifically sound information that I'm saying right now. But I just feel like there's got to be some primal thing in us that says, yes, we need that new tool, or this will help us to survive or whatever. And I feel like that is one of the reasons why we are often wanting to make purchases. So it's kind of a battle against that primal side inside of us. The more I recognize this, though, the fewer purchases I make and the more content I am with what I already have. The last category that I wanted to talk about is that I regret buying an excessive amount of items in my hobbies. Once I became really committed to minimalism, I focused on fewer hobbies. I got rid of tons of hobby material. I got rid of so much stuff. This teacher came by at a garage sale once and I was like, "You're a teacher? Here, have all of these things for your classroom." And I gave her so much stuff. And it felt really good to get rid of all of that stuff. And it made me happy to know that someone would be really excited to use it. And it would help many, many people to have a slightly better educational experience. So I'm happy about that. But the problem that I ran into is that because I knew I had fewer hobbies, I felt really justified in buying lots of stuff within those hobbies. For instance, I started making these little kind of wind chime things out of beads and driftwood. They are really beautiful and they're fun to make. I have some, if you ever watch my videos and you see me sitting at our piano kind of desk table area, there are three little dangly charms hanging down and my kids and I made those. It was really fun to make them. So that is kind of in the style of what I was making. It was really fun. But I ended up just starting to buy beads all the time instead of purchasing kind of like what I needed to get started. I just kept buying beads and more beads. And if I found a pretty strand of beads and I had a coupon, I would buy them. It felt like it was okay because it was within my hobby. And I'm really okay to this day with having hobbies. I feel like it's essential, really. But this was just going too far. When I finally came to terms with the fact that I had way too many beads, I started letting my kids use them often. Whenever they had buddies over, I would offer them the beads to go and make, you know, wind chimes or bracelets, dream catchers, you name it. You make whatever you want out of these beads. I started sharing quite a bit, and that part of it was a really good thing, and it was fun for my kids and is fun for my kids to do that still. But it is kind of crazy how quickly these kinds of materials can build up, and it's not something that I want to be doing in the future. Now I just buy what I need as I need it. Sometimes I have to remind myself, it's okay if I run out, I can just go and purchase what I need in order to finish this project. That is my list of things or categories of things that I regret buying since becoming a minimalist. Going over the list, I'm so glad that after seeing that everyone was doing this type of thing on YouTube, which I just think it's funny how these little trends go around. Anyway, I'm really glad that I saw so many videos and then I took stock of what I regretted buying after becoming a minimalist, because it's given me time to think about it and it's been really a very interesting experiment. My minimalist challenge for you is to actually kind of make a list of your own and ask yourself, what's something that you've purchased in the name of minimalism that has not been a great benefit in your life? I think that making this kind of a list is great. I think it's a healthy practice, and it helped me in particular to learn about kind of what these regrets were, so that I'm hoping in the future I do not make these same kinds of mistakes. Thanks so much for hanging out with me on the podcast. I hope that you have enjoyed it, and I will see you in the next episode. Remember, it is all about the experiences, not the stuff.